Hi everyone, welcome to the Wellness and Wahala podcast. A wellness and Wahala warrior is a winner, a world changer, wise and winsome. They are dedicated to tackling Wahala, which means issues and problems in Nigerian Pidgin, for the good of humanity. Our tribe of subject matter experts in our village are a voice to the voiceless. Oya, join me, the former diplomat and public health advisor, Dr. Tomi Ademokun, better known as Oma Oba, as she gives you the best public health, wellness, and Wahala gist with wonderful people using their compassion to take action to put us on the pathway to a Wahala-free life. Over to the Wellness and Wahala podcast show. Thank you. Bless up. Today, y'all, a VVIP. We call it VVIP. Yes, very, so. Very important guest today. Yes. Welcome those of you that are tuning in for the first time to the NIDO Online Radio and NIDO YouTube TV show. And it's also going to be streamed on the Wellness and Wahala podcast. This is the Governor's Gist show, and we have our special VIP guest today, y'all. He is the chairman, the honorable chairman of the Nigerian and Diaspora Organization, the Board of Trustees, Mr. Bukola Olaoye. And I'm very honored to have him on our show. I am Dr. Tomi, one of the co-hosts of this NIDO TV show. And we have my other co-host, Mr. Collins. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Dr. Tomi. I don't know if I'm allowed to change your name as the queen of NIDO Radio or NIDO TV. I think that would be a good addition. You know, the way you promote the African culture, the way you talk about it, how passionate you are, it makes me love Africa so much and much more. But nonetheless, this evening we have a very, very humble man, a man of impeccable character, a man that listens, that wants to solve problems. One thing I like about the BOT chairman is he's a good listener. He wants to solve issues rather than complain. Thank you so much, Honorable Chairman Bukola Olaoye. Thank you for making time from your busy schedule. I know you have a lot in your hands and you're trying to manage as much as you can with the resources that you have. Thank you for making the opportunity to come and discuss in NIDO Radio and TV, as well as to all the diasporans about what Nigerians in Diaspora Board of Trustees is all about. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You have the floor. Please go ahead and introduce yourself, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Honorable Collins, Dr. Tomi. And I'm a follower of this podcast from time to time. Yes, I see that energy from Dr. Tomi. You are right, Honorable Collins. And I'm like, I wish I had that type of energy. But again, thank you for this audience that you have granted. I don't take it lightly at all. I do appreciate it. My name is Bukola Olaoye. I'm residing here in Columbus, Ohio. The full citizen of Nigeria, of course. Over years, I've actually been with, professionally, I've actually worked in operations most part of my life, project operations, and currently work over a couple of locations in my financial institution that I actually am in. But coming back to NIDO, actually, so one of those things I learned professionally is actually what got me to NIDO, funnily enough. It was projects. I actually was in a community in Ohio that actually had a need, or someone that had a medical need. And I was tasked with that job to actually try to raise funds for that person that had medical need. So we went back to back from place to place, churches, mosques, people, gatherings, to raise the funds. We actually raised close to $40,000 on a GoFundMe then. Now, while I was doing that is how I met with NIDO. Now, that money I talked about, and again, that's one of the things that actually made me believe a little bit more about an organization called NIDO, because that funding that we actually got didn't come from a corporate organization, did not come from any charity institution. It came from day-to-day Nigerians that actually stay in diaspora. The $20 here, the $5 there, the $100 there, $1,000 here is what brought that together. And coming into NIDO, I met with the leaders of NIDO then, and they said, if you can do this for a Nigerian, you should be part of doing bigger things for a Nigerian in diaspora. And that's how I joined NIDO. I joined NIDO, started going for the meetings. Joining NIDO for me, it was a bit different. You don't have a lot of the young minds there. You have a couple of the older folks there. And I'm like, wow, let me be part of this great thing that is happening. As these people are handing off to this generation, we should have a couple of people that can hand off to the next generation. Joy Naido became the secretary. After a while, became the vice president, the president. And at a point, I said, well, we've done well here. Now let's sit back and actually volunteer in a different aspect. And of course, I was very engaged with the board of trustees and the board of directors of Naido A. And then the opportunity came for us to move to a different trajectory in the line of what we're doing in NIDO A, and put my hat in the ring, and the people actually said, yes, come do this. Very humbled to be there, and as I became the chair of this great organization, Nigerians in Diaspora Organization Americas, on the Continental Sphere, working with a great team of people, to be honest, including this host and hostesses here, and of course I know people behind the scene also. Thank you so much, but it's a great honor and privilege. Thank you.
It is an honor to have you, and that goes into a great transition to my first question for you. You talked a little bit about it already, about why you took on the role to be the chairman of the Board of Trustees of the Nigerian and Diaspora Organization in the Americas. But what really geared you towards the vision and mission, or what is your key vision and mission as the new chairman of the Board of Trustees? Because of course we have our own general mission of our organization, but what is your vision and your mission of what you want us to achieve under your tenure? Over to you, Seth.
Thank you. I may disappoint you to say this was not my long-term aspiration. So it wasn't something I have nursed over time. But I think my vision or my mission in this role is in line with the vision and mission of the organization. From the bylaws, what is exactly the reason why we're formed? How can I help project that? And how can I make it work better? So that right after I can hand off also a better NIDO to the next set of leadership. Very importantly for me is the diaspora. How can we work together? How can we collaborate together? How can we do things together as Nigerians? That's one of the things that actually pushed me or led me into this. How can we make sure we work as one big family? How can we learn each other's strengths? How can we actually use that to promote what we do here? And of course, lend some of those back to Nigeria back home. So those are the things that actually led me here. And to be honest, I saw very great professionals working here, and I said, this is the time to do it.
Thank you. And you know, there's power in unity, so I agree with you on that. But that gets me to my next question on the state of Nigeria. There are a lot of challenges right now going into the state of Nigeria and what is facing our people back at home. As the BOT chairman, how can you help unite us here in the diaspora to try to be a lifeline and address some of the challenges back at home and provide solutions? Over to you, Sal.
Thank you. If I had the complete answer to that, I'll be running for the president of Nigeria.
You probably should be the president. You might be better than the president.
That's true.
But many of our presidents have Japa. They call it the Japa syndrome. Many of the potential good presidents, that could be presidents, unfortunately, because of the state of Nigeria, have transitioned abroad to the diaspora. So, but what do you perceive? You know, of course, you might not have all the solutions, but what do you think are some of the things that we can do to come together to address it? As they say, the African proverb, little drops of water eventually makes a mighty ocean. So what concrete steps, even if it's baby steps, do you think we can do to contribute to improving the state of our country back at home?
Thank you. So you and I know that Nigeria itself is a complex situation. It's not complex in being a country, it's complex in the people. Actually.
Yes.
Nigerians actually make up Nigeria. So, first and foremost, I think as diasporans, we want to do it right. When we do it right, we can take it back. I see, like the Chinese, they come over here, they learn, they add to their toolkit, they take it back and develop on that. I believe that was the reason why we had advent of Nigerians coming abroad in those days, not now, not the Jaguar one, but in those days, for us to come learn from the advanced nations and bring it back to a country like Nigeria and advance it. Unfortunately, that didn't go exactly like that. The second thing is, over years, there was not a projection, a future projection for the diaspora community in Nigeria. So I think that has actually caused a big gap right now, which we're trying to close back. And I know I don't want to dabble into the voting bill and all that too quickly. But what we can do is, from our stance here, how can we promote a fair system? A fair system that actually rewards the right thing and actually punishes or gives justice to the wrong thing. If we don't get that system right, we might just not go on the right trajectory in a country like Nigeria. I think Nigeria has one of the brightest and best brains around the world. Even in Nigeria, that is still there right now. How can we put that system, the reward system, and make sure the justice system is working correctly? In America, as an example, how many people really want to pay the taxes? If you run a poll and say voluntarily, how many people want to pay taxes if there's no consequences?
Nobody.
But why do we do it? Because there are consequences to not doing it. Now, if we have the true system in Nigeria that actually has the reward and consequence, I think that's the first step for us moving forward. Now, this is not about the president, not about the senator. It's about every Nigerian, the house of the councilor, the chairman. Even the gate man. How do we make sure we all believe in a reward system? You do the right thing, you get the reward. You do the wrong thing, there'll be a consequence to it. Once we get to that point, I think we will move on the right trajectory. And where do we come in as diasporans? From NIDO, from other Nigerian organizations in diaspora. What are you doing? What are we doing right? How are we putting our talents together in the right way where we're actually celebrating, like Wellness Wahala, like the NIDO TV? How are we celebrating those things and rewarding those things rather than pushing it on the political level for those that actually make it there? All right. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I think those were great advice and gems of wisdom. Over to my co-host. I know this is a really strong point on your part, but over to you, sir.
Mr. Sherman, you know, I really, really appreciate that this question actually came up, because if you look at it, the main theme of our conversation of the AGM that will be held in Savannah in 2024, it's all about harnessing the opportunities of the potentials of the diaspora in sustainable development. So when we talk about diaspora, we talk about opportunities, we talk talk about how we can be able to help move the country forward. I think this is a very, very strong indication and a very strong, you know, explanation that we have a lot of role to be played, irrespective of the challenges that we go through in Nigeria. You know, I know that we will not get better overnight, but we're kind of taking what they call the baby steps. And that baby steps eventually, you know, collectively, we will definitely get there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honorable Collins, while you talked about the AGM, by the way, over the weekend, I actually booked my ticket. So,
yes, so.
That's good. That's good. I'm waiting for you, sir. I'm waiting for you to say one goat for you. When I see you, that goat might change to a cow. So
oh, wow.
Yes,
so. Mr. Chairman.
And everybody listening in to NIDA Radio and the podcast, our AGM, our annual general meeting, is going to be in September 7th this year in Savannah. So you have at least 9 months in advance to prepare, buy your ticket in advance. The Honorable Chairman already has put into action and bought his ticket. So it's going to be one to remember. So thank you. For that, and I know that this is going to be a great annual general meeting where we all come together, which gets me to my next question. You know, you talked about the AGM, which is also a major meeting that brings all of us together across the Americas, you know, which includes North America, South America, Canada. I really want to know more about some of the major projects and initiatives that we might have as a diaspora that you envision that some of the committees are working on or going to commence. So, for example, you know, I know that there's a lot of challenges, as you have already outlined some of the solutions, like our chapter in NIDO South Savannah. We've gave out 7 scholarships totaling about 100,000 each, 700,000 last year. Due to some of the education challenges and some of the bright students back in Nigeria who don't have access to those funds, we were able to partner with a school and diplomat organization, NGO. And then also, you know, there's a lot of internally displaced people in Nigeria due to the terrorism. Most recently, how all of us united and from the BOD, from the BOT, to put out a press statement condemning the killings that happened in Plateau Jos State, 160 and 300 injured. I'm sure the number is larger than that, but that's what is reported. But from some of the journalists that I've talked to, they said the number is way over 500 or even probably up to 1,000, because houses were burnt and destroyed. And that village has natural resources, agricultural resources, diamonds, and so forth. So they really targeted them, and they targeted them on a Christmas holiday. Unfortunately, the media has not publicized it, like what is going on in Israel. They had about half of those people killed on October 7th in Israel. But because the Jewish people, I believe, here in America, which is America, Israel's strongest ally. And when you're talking about the strongest ally in Nigeria, the American government, the Americans are the strongest ally. If President Biden calls our president, he's going to pick up the call. I don't care if it's 1 a.m. So I want to say big kudos to you, Chairman. I wanted to bring that up, that we put out. It's not about just talking. It's also taking action. We also followed up after you all signed, united across all the different BODs and BOTs, signed, put out a press statement. It was in all the major newspapers in Nigeria. Then we also contacted our senator here in Georgia, Senator Warnock, responded. We're still on the process of contacting other African Affairs, Foreign Affairs, House of Representatives, Congress members. But Warnock responded and said that yes, he is on the Foreign Development Committee and that he is going to take this up and that he condemns any type of killings and, you know, any type of humanitarian needs that needs to be going to Nigeria and religious tolerance. He's going to take it up. I think that if we do our part, it is more powerful for us because our people back at home, they're scared. If they talk up, they will be killed. That's a fact. But we can be the voice to the voiceless and putting out that powerful united press statement, then strategically targeting our government officials here, and hopefully it will get to the White House where our President Biden can say, yes, Nigerians, we contribute economically, physically, both in the public and private sector. We are the most educated migrants here by Census Bureau. In 2020, I think the last census, they said the Nigerian immigrants, Nigerian Americans are the most educated migrants here in America. We contribute significantly. So if we can lift up our voice, just like the Jewish people who stand very united here, we will be able to make an impact. Because I guarantee you, if our president calls our president back at home, things will change. But if we just sit back while our people are getting killed, it's very disheartening. So I just wanted to say big kudos to you. But can you talk about some of those projects and the power of us uniting to really make an impact and really help what is going on with the state of our nation back at home? Over to you, sir.
Thank you so much. And I think what you highlighted is the power of the diaspora. A lot of people talk about the diaspora repatriating money back to Nigeria. We've not seen what that money has done in Nigeria, except for circulating the day-to-day. But can we make policy changes? Can we make big impact? Yes, through those things you actually mentioned. Now, you as a chapter actually have done your part. So our hope and goal and prayer is that every chapter is able to do that part. Imagine if one senator is able to put out publications like that. If their people are able to carry news about one senator, you can imagine if it's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, even up to the Senate president or even the presidency, that is going to make that impact like you talked about. So again, it's for every Nigerian in diaspora to say, what can I do? And you don't have to be a chapter president. You don't have to be an elected officer to take one of those things and say, hey, my senator, this is what is happening back home in my country. Can you put a voice to it? And that's it. And that's how we can actually make little impacts from our little voices into the big ripple of ocean. But aside that, of course, we do have a couple of things you also mentioned as the giving back back home and things like that, of course. Now, from a Board of Trustees perspective, we actually also do a lot of oversight. But the power belongs to every member of every chapter in the organization. The member is actually the powerful person. That member, that president, that local chapter president is the one that actually has the executive powers to move the boots on ground and to make that effect. Youth empowerment, we have it. Now we do have a couple of countries that are actually part of the Americas that function right now. And a part of us, of course, Canada, we have Brazil. And of course, we have the USA that is actually there. Now, hopefully, the goal is actually to explore more Americas as we go through. But what are we doing for our youth? I talked about how I joined NIDO and how we had more elderly people in NIDO. What has happened to the youth? Because those elderly people, when I found out, they've been there since the start of NIDO. So that means they were younger when they joined. So what is the transition to make sure we can actually attract the youth so that they actually can take it off from where we start? That's very important and key in what we're doing. And hopefully we'll do better, not just from a BOT perspective, to countries, to chapters, and even to people. Mentorship, of course, that helps. I've been in America for 15 years. I've done this, I've done this as a Nigerian. I've overcome this, I've survived this. What if the new guy coming in? How are we able to pass that over so that person doesn't have to spend 15 years to get to where you are? Hopefully 3, 5. That's going to actually accelerate our power here. You talked about give back, and giving back is huge. Not just giving back in money, not just giving back in food, even giving back in ideas, giving back in what we've learned, taking it back to Nigeria. that's a big one. Of what use is a Nigeria when we are succeeding here in diaspora and can't be proud of what's happening back home? Or we can't even go back home because we're scared of going back home. You know, again, a lot of these things, and even in our local communities, without even doing that in Nigeria, in our local communities, how are we advocating for things around our local communities as Nigerians? Now you talk about the Jewish community, they just didn't come in, take things back to their land and not do anything to their local community. When we start doing things in our local community, then we can speak to our House of Rep members.
Yes.
Then we can speak to
our... Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All those things. And I know I'm speaking the voice of Honorable Collins there, but that's the truth. Yes. Then we can actually take those things and we can actually make a phone call to them. We don't even have to send an email anymore. Mm-hmm. We can make a phone call to them and say, show up at our next NIDO meeting. Come take a picture, lend your voice, and we can push that there. So as long as we start doing these things, and these are not big things to do, honestly. These are little things. I'll use an example in Ohio, as simple as adopt a highway. And I think adopt a highway is actually a national thing. Mm-hmm. Adopt a highway is an example. Take the highway, put your name on it, and clean the litter around it. Mm-hmm. That is impacting your immediate society. Do you think how many people will see that name and one day you want to say something? Oh, those are the guys that made that area. Mm-hmm. It's as simple and easy as that. But what are we adding to ourselves? What are we adding to our communities? What are we adding before we have our voice? And all these things we add together will come to the AG and we'll talk as a country, as a continent. Then we can actually say, if we've done enough here, let's take it back home to Nigeria.
Whew, thank you. That is a lot. You answered.
Wow, Mr. Chairman. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you short.
No, go ahead, my co-host.
Because I have to be honest with you, our BOT chairman really nailed it.
Yes.
Nailed it in the sense that, remember, the AGM that we went to, was it in 2022 or 23 in New York, whereby we had Senator Savion, I'm sorry, I may have not pronounced her name right. She said one thing. She said, I know Nigerians. I fought for Nigerians. I work with Nigerians. She said there was a time, there was a crackdown on Nigerians. They were doing three jobs. The city was trying to make sure that these individuals are not just cooking the books. She said, but I know, because of where they came from, they are hardworking people, they were doing the job and they were getting the job done. He said, the only problem with Nigerians is that we do not participate in our local community.
Yes.
Not knowing that your local community is what defines your life, it's what defines your progress. So, Mr. Chairman, you are absolutely 100%. We need to engage in our local communities. We need to show our presence in our local communities. We need to make our local communities know that we appreciate them, we cherish them for the opportunity given to us. Then we can build an army of individuals that we can take back home and say, we are here to make things happen. And believe me, like you say, if we show and portray ourselves the way it's supposed to be in our local communities, the senators, the ministers, the governors, they will be more than willing to fight our cause back home. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Thank you. That was extremely powerful. And that gets to my next point, because you talked about making the difference in your local community, which translates into policy change and building that relationship with not only your local government chairman, your mayors, your governors, also your senators, your House of Reps. It will be very united for us. You know, hopefully we can plan. I was telling my president that at the government level, it will be nice for us to go to Washington, plan a meeting where, you know, if you're from Ohio, there's some from Texas, there's some from Georgia. We go and meet our representatives. They're all in D.C. Matter of fact, we don't need an appointment. Many people think that, you know, you need an appointment. You actually don't. Now, because of COVID and a lot of people working remotely from home in the government, and we're traveling in advance because we're traveling out of state, we can make an appointment. But you can actually walk into your local government office, your senator office, because here in America, which is probably the greatest democracy in the world, they work for us. They serve us. I work for the federal government. We serve the people. The people don't serve us. Unlike back at home, where you cannot see where to contact, you know, they have so much entourage. They don't even have their an official email. I've met some Nigerian government officials, and they'll give you their Yahoo and their Gmail. That actually gets me to my last question, because you answered my other ones, which is our relationship with NIDCOM. So NIDCOM supposed to be our diaspora liaison organization, I would say, back at home. And it's been years, like decades, that they've been trying to get at least one thing passed. Because when you're talking about policy, if we don't even have the right to vote for who is going to be our leadership, that gets me to the diaspora voting bill, which we put out an online petition. We got over 500 signatures. Our goal was to only get 100. Presented it to NIDCOM. We were on a symposium with, I believe, Nido Swaziland in South Africa. NIDCOM chairman, Abigail, she was too scared. She didn't come. She said she was busy. She sent another representative. I only had one call of action for him. I said, number one, on the NIDCOM website, you don't even have a copy of the bill. Like, the actual bill, the diaspora voting bill, should be published. It should be transparently published on your website. That's number one. Number two, for the people that voted yes, thank you to those representatives, they also need to be published. Do you understand? So if you have 109 senators, for example, so we have like 100 senators, two senators per state. So if you have only 9 of those senators that said yes and 100 that said no, then we need to know the names of who said yes to thank them, because they're our allies, right? And strategically meet with them. And now this is a new administration, so those people have changed, right? And then the ones that are new and that said no, why did they say no? So I'll give you an example. When I was in Nigeria for about 5 years, we were trying to get the violence against people prohibition bill passed. When it first started, it was called the violence against women bill, because of course women in Nigeria and children experience more violence, and it got knocked down. So my whole thing is, okay, if you said no, nobody ever took the initiative to go to those representatives and say, okay, why did you vote no? You know what I'm saying? How about if this was your daughter, your, you know, your sister? Like, I mean, why would you say no to such a human right? This should be bipartisan. It doesn't matter if you're PDP, ADP, Republican, Democrat. Like, everybody should unite against violence. Their issue was that violence, of course, women and children experience more, but also men experience violence. So they said that they didn't like that it was just limited to women and children, that we should now change it and make it more inclusive. So we now change the name to Violence Against People Prohibition Bill. It's still targeted to protect more of women that have higher rates of violence. But once we changed it and we made the edits, you know, of course there wasn't some negotiation. There was some stuff that was crazy that we were like, no, we're not for to change that. But we changed it through negotiation, through listening, and we were able to finally get it passed. So if they cannot even give us the right to vote, we do not have the right to affect policy. That's why we have to go indirectly through our senator and president. But if we actually had a right to vote, we don't even have to do that. I'ma just vote you out. I'ma just impeach you, right? You know what I'm saying? Because that's my right. But right now in the diaspora, we don't have that right. So what can we do? Because, you know, we still have the same NIDCOM director. We still have the same thing going on. They said they have projects. Oh, we're building real estate back at home. How are we going to purchase? Any one of us can purchase a house back at home. The security, there's insecurity. Who's going to go there when you can't even, there's kidnapping. There's increased violence. But if you have not addressed the fundamental issue of policy change. So I know that's a big question, but Sai, let me allow you to talk on how we can really unite here to get that diaspora voting bill passed, because we only have, 3 years to go into the next elections, and it will be very beneficial for us here and back at home if we'll be able to have a voice to actually do those policy changes that you recommended. Over to you, Sai.
Thank you so much. A day like today, I'm so happy that I'm not representing the Nigerian government, because those questions you asked me was going to get me fired. But I'm going to speak.
I know you're more diplomatic. Me, I go drop it like it's hot.
I'm not. I'll answer. Go ahead, Mr. Chairman. There's no, to me personally, I don't believe that we're trying to criticize and not bring solutions. I think we're coming from an environment whereby we have seen the problems and we have solutions. The biggest challenge that we have back home is letting people know that this is the solution to a problem, yet we stick to do the same thing and expect a different answer. Our problem is not a rocket science. You and I know very well. If America, of all places, will give Nigeria the most educated immigrants, you are in international business, you are in the financial sector. If your company is not listed in New York Stock Exchange or 500 S&P, you haven't arrived yet when it comes to business in the world. That's why every immigrant from Italy, France, name it, from UK, rushes to the New York Stock Exchange to ring the bell. So if that society can acknowledge who we are and say, these individuals are the most educated, the most intelligent immigrants we've ever seen, why is it that our home is being projected the way it is, like we have never crossed any school? So please feel free, give us an honest answer. For those that are listening, I know they will make something out of it. Like I said, Rome is not built in a day. Our independence is still young. We have a very young independence. Although we're very highly intelligent people, we have a very young independence, but we will continue to strive to get to that perfection. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you for that preamble. No, I'm not scared, because I don't work for the government, so it gives me the opportunity to speak freely. But it's interesting what you brought up. I hope I can summarize it on the voting video for Nigeria. It's more political, so to say, than advancement. I was actually, as you were speaking and you talked about NIDCOM, I actually went on the site, understanding that NIDCOM actually was established and enacted by the National Assembly and reports directly to the government. NIDOA does not, non-governmental, diasporans, professionals from all walks of life. So there's a difference in how we function. But NIDO, put on record, is very instrumental to the setup of NIDCOM in Nigeria. Very influential to the setup. And if you go even on their website, I'm shocked that it's still there. One of the functions of the commission of NIDCOM is actually to work in concert with NIDO. strengthen the existing administration setup and work with NIDO. It says it's an Amazonized continental Nigerian diaspora organizations. So they to work with NIDO. But again, what has happened, unfortunately, is by the time the last constitution that was enacted, the 1999 constitution was enacted, the power of diaspora was not known at that time. Had it been known, it should have actually been implemented at that time. What we're trying to do now is we're trying to play reverse, to now impute what should have been there from the beginning, and now it's becoming a challenge. And the reason it's becoming a challenge, like you said, is that there is no system. to actually hit it. Now, you said something, and as easy as you said it, is one of the reasons why there's a fear of letting that pass. The National Assembly that actually will pass the diaspora voting bill knows that the diaspora wants a system to work. They know they want it to work correctly. They want there to be reward and punishment. Unfortunately, that's not how it works right now. So if there's going to be the rightfulness of diaspora, and it's unfortunate that Nigeria is actually pushing for this. Unfortunately, you have to get signatures for this. Every country in the world where you're born of, you should have the rightful voice to speak to that, including voting. So it's unfortunate like Nigeria is still behind. There are a lot of African countries that do diaspora voting.
<It's>, plenty. I mean, that are way smaller than us.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, countries like Senegal.
We have NIN. We have BVN. You can verify Nigerian this way. We have passports. A Nigerian passport is one of the most secure passports in the world because it takes about 3 months to get. So a lot of security.
Sometimes over a year.
So that being said, though, this has gone to the assembly. I think in 2022, where it got rejected. Sometime last year, I believe there was a reading on it, the first reading, the second reading. I think as an organization like NIDO Aid, which you're doing very gracefully from South Savannah, I will commend you, is we have to keep pushing and forming that action committees, forming that alliance. There was a senator that actually set up a meeting last year. It's one of the first. I mean, there was a talk about Nigeria diaspora voting bill on the House, and diasporas were not engaged in the past. So definitely that was going to shut down pretty easily. But I think there's more awareness right now. Is it going to turn around tomorrow? Maybe not. But we're moving closer. We're pushing. All we need to do is keep pushing it. Keep pushing it until one day we'll get there. But there's a lot of fear about diasporas having a voice. There's a lot of fear because there's a knowledge. You're here, you don't like Republicans, we switch it to Democrats. You don't like the Democrats, you switch it. So these people, like you said earlier, the people have the power. Reverse case in that scenario. So we're trying to play catch up. And I'm hoping, we do have a, you talked about NIPCOM, we do have a good relationship with NIPCOM. Not the best that we want to get to, but we actually carry them along on what we're doing and how we can do it better. I'm hoping as we move forward, NIDO will take the rightful place, even in the commission of NIDCOM, and then we can actually help push those policies better.
Thank you. Thank you, Sat. But just a follow-up action item on that, because one of the things that she said, you know, as a rebuttal, was that she can't do it on her own. You understand? That she is limited. She has limited budget, she has limited resources, and she's facing a lot. So, you know, just working from the government, it's not everything that people go through that people will see. You know, there's top classified things that she will not be able to say because she's trying to secure her position. Once again, it's a political position, unlike us, that is not a political. But we were set up by a political person. If you remember, NIDO was founded, going back to our history of the Nigerian and Diaspora Organization, 20 years ago, President Obasanjo was the one that set it up with some of our, you know, forefathers that are still alive today. Ambassador Aminu, a lot of them were part of that. He's the Nigerian ambassador. He was a former Nigerian ambassador in Canada. And then you know, the ones here that was in Atlanta and New York. We actually before even had a NIDO liaison office at the embassy, which actually should play a part. We no longer have that. How do we re-engage to have that liaison office? If it's the Ministry of Interior, we're having issues with our passports. How do we engage them? See, the issue is she can't do it on her own. But as we have power, you understand, if President Obasanjo, which he's still very powerful, he's not the president, but he set up NIDO. He's alive. I was on one of it. It was me and Mr. Collins. We were on a webinar with him this leadership webinar, and I called him out and I said, "Hi, Sa, that I'm part of NIDO that you set up. And one of the things that I have to say is that, one, thank you for setting it up, because you, I think you had a really good vision of what you wanted to do. However, 20 years down the line, I don't think we accomplished it." And I put him, you know, I put him on the spot. I said, I was a U.S. government diplomat and I came to Nigeria when he was the president. So he was there for 8 years. He had the power to pass this diaspora voter bill. You know what I'm saying? So that was strike one. Because I'm like, before you calling out any other president after you, you set up NIDO, you could have passed it then. And he apologized. He said that, you know, if he could do it over again with all the information that he had at that time, he didn't think about diaspora voting bill. And we weren't pushing for it in the diaspora. But he, at least he set up NIDO. But he said that, but he's still quite disappointed. In 20 years, he said, we're supposed to be a force even greater than how the Jewish people do. I went to Israel last year with my family to the Holy Land. I'm telling you, that place is not bigger than DC. Like, literally, you can go from northern Israel to southern Israel to get to the border of Egypt, like, within one day. It is not that big. So I was so shocked to see, you know, in biblical time in history, how powerful this very small nation is. We are 200 and something million people. And there's a lot of African Jews that I met, Ethiopian Jews and stuff. So I learned a lot. You learn a lot when you travel and you talk to people. But I put him on the spot because I said that you have power. So going back to you, Sal, you are the current chairman. We can't change the past, but we need to really be strategic. How are we going to start contacting our representatives then? And how can we use our representatives here? So not just Senator Warnock, but there's a lot of Nigerian Americans that have been appointed that even work at the White House with Biden. How can we write a united petition and say that this is our, for example, collective 7-point agenda. And one of the agendas is diaspora voting bill. And because we contribute and also play it, you have to play it. What is in the best interest also for the U.S. government? U.S. government has millions in investments in oil and other resources in Nigeria. They don't want those investments going down the hole due to insecurity and, you know, and what's going on right now. It also is at high risk, what you call a high risk investment. You're in the financial industry. If there's like, you know, what happened in Niger, a military coup, Nigeria is out, you know, insecurity. What happens when it's too insecure? Military got to step in. It's okay, then all your investment, there's billions going down the drain. They also want to protect their investments. So if we come united and say, look, this is in y'all best interest too. How can we help you help us and help each other? And how can we target every single one of them? If this new administration said renewed hope agenda, okay, this is what we need you to do. I told someone that hope should stand for harnessing H, opportunities, P, for poverty eradication. Because Nigeria is rich in resources. Nigeria is rich in intellect when it comes to the diaspora. Going back to the data before that, we are the most educated diaspora here in the Americas. But how can we really set her up to succeed? Because right now, I'm going to be honest, I don't really think that she knows what she needs to do. And if she does know, I don't really think that she has the power or the intellect of subject matter experts to support her. But I think us in the diaspora have that. So I'm really rewording my question going back to you to say, how can we bring together these subject matter expertise, strategically target people in our government who are Nigerian American, who are powerful senior senators, local senators, African American senators, and saying, look, this is what we need, you all. And at the end of the day, it also protects the U.S. government interest, because if Nigeria is insecure, if Nigeria is on a roller coaster to destruction, it's not going to be good for any of us. So how can we make sure that we are well positioned? The only reason why other migrant groups get support from the U.S. government is because they advocate. They have, as you said earlier, they have the phone call because they have their own constant communication with their senators, with their governors, with their representative. All the Jewish people, the Secretary of State, Blinken, is Jewish. You telling me that the Jewish American, I'm part of the Christian United for America, Israel, for Christians United for Israel in America group. I know that they have their phone number. So what can we do to help her succeed? Because I really don't think that she's equipped with the subject matter expertise and the wisdom to get her in that right direction. And then I will let you close with your last words. I know it's a lot, but I just wanted to reword that for you.
No, thank you so much. I think you've talked a lot about the history, and of course you know where we need to go. I don't think, and this is personal, I don't think she has the powers to make the change. Because she's actually, like you said, she reports to that same organization. She can advocate for it, she can mention it, but she doesn't have the power to make the change. But the difference is, yes, we have the power because we don't report to the government. So we can advocate, we can speak, we can keep shouting even if they say shut up.
Yes.
That's the difference that we actually carry. But I'll take it away. I think I've known about the Diaspora Voting Bill. I've been part of the conversations. But I think you mentioned something. We may not be able to change it overnight, but what are we doing in our own communities to actually push this? Can we have our local chapters? Like, if we can just replicate what Savannah is doing in every chapter, that's just basic. Just replicate what Savannah is doing concerning Diaspora Voting Bill of the senators. If we can start with that, then we can move to the White House. While we're doing that, then we still have those conversations with the National Assembly in Nigeria. Now again, is this going to change overnight? No. But it will come to a time when the pressure actually comes together and there will be a need. And we have somehow the systems. I mean, I thought that's what was happening when we had the enhanced passport. I thought that was what was happening when we had the NIN. I thought that was what was happening when we had the BVN. So there are, now if you tell every Nigerian, now this is about metrics. I'm not sure even the US actually use biometrics outside the country. But Nigeria has biometrics. We can say, okay, except you have those things, you can't vote. The US, I mean, I've been part of the electoral system here before. We just have a database. If you say your name is this, and you say your name is this, and you sign here, boom, your vote counts.
That's it.
Yes.
So, but we...
And if you present a valid ID.
Valid ID, your vote counts. So we can even make it even more enhanced and say your fingerprints must match this fingerprint. Your NIN must match this NIN. Then your vote counts. And that's the first step. We already have these things. We just need the political will to make that change. So, but what we'll take away, we can't always throw things at others. What are we doing also? So what we'll take away is how can we ensure or push our local chapters to start, no matter how small, in their own local chapters, to bubble up that noise. Let's see if we can bubble up that noise. And from the national, the continental, we'll bubble it up there. So we're hearing about this every time. What's happening? Let's have a conversation. Hopefully that will push it.
You know, if I can, yes, add to this conversation, NIN, the way that it's being structured, I wouldn't even use BVN because BVN has to do with the financial sector. But NIN, the way that it's being structured, if the embassies or whichever agency that the NIN has been outsourced goes back to the Nigerian database, if Nigerians in diaspora, the way they made it possible for us to do NIN, they can equally, immediately as we complete the NIN, they can equally give us a voter's card or voter's registration to be eligible to vote. The thing is, we already have the tools, but the fear, I would say, that some people have, not all. I know some politicians back home, some leaders back home, who want diaspora voting, who want diasporas to vote. It's just like Washington, D.C., taxation without representation. They love the money that we send back home, but they don't want to give us a sense of belonging.
Yes.
you know, but not knowing that, if you could recall that there is no country in this world that have been through what Nigeria has been through, that we're able to develop without a diaspora. Mm-hmm. They say that diasporans send maybe 1% or 2% of their income back home. If they have a sense of belonging in terms of voting, they can increase it to 5%. So if Nigeria is getting 30 billion or 20 billion and they give us a right of vote, believe me, Nigeria will get 50 billion. So we do not even need any direct investment. We don't, Nigerian government should not be coming to overseas to campaign to foreigners to invest in Nigeria, because the money that Nigerian diasporans can raise can equally feed to the investment that we're talking about. But nonetheless, like you said, it's a learning process. We are walking towards it. We are fighting. We don't have to fight for it, because it is our privilege. It is our right. As a born Nigerian, you should be able to exercise the right to vote. Choose who is going to lead you. But nonetheless, we will keep on working towards it. We will deliberate. We will sit down and talk to individuals. We will also encourage and make them to see the importance. Because sometimes when people argue about this, they don't really look at the other side of it. They thought about maybe we just wanted to come and hijack the government. Trust me, I can tell you the truth. A lot of Nigerians that are doing very well overseas are barely less interested in taking up a position in Nigeria. Yes, they will want things to function well, but they may be less interested to take positions in Nigeria. Because, I mean, if you look at it from all perspectives, how much are they going to pay you as a real politician? How much is the Nigerian president's salary paycheck? To compare with Nigerians that are working in corporate America, that are making 6-7 figures. But if you don't include all those kickbacks, all those transactions that get in and out, then the seat will be less attractive. Like I tell people, I said, we need a part-time parliament whereby we come, we discuss our issues, and everybody go home and go back to their respective professions. We don't need Nigerians to be in Abuja, sleeping 24/7 of the day, riding $200 or $600 million car, and talk about legislative for us. We need part-time legislature. Come, discuss your matter. After that, go back to your farm or go back to your factory. Because we don't have the money to sustain such a large government. But nonetheless, my ideas will be radical. You know, but nonetheless, we need to do things right. We have to understand, we cannot keep borrowing and spending the money recklessly on non-value projects that will not yield anything for the immediate Nigerians and also the future Nigerians. We should cut down the cost of government. We should understand the reason why we're borrowing, where we're putting the money that we borrowed in from, and we should know where we're going. You know, but nonetheless, I believe, and I strongly believe, the awareness is coming up. The youths are not sleeping. The elderly ones are not sleeping either. But we all need to work together. So, Mr. President, Mr. Chairman, thank you so much for making your time to come and talk to us in Niger Radio and Niger TV, as well as the Queen of the Niger Radio and Niger TV. I hope you don't get offended if I call you the Queen.
You're the King, though. You're the King if I'm the Queen. And our VIP, our VVIP guest, though. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Chairman Bukola. We really, really do appreciate. And I will leave you to advise and say the last word and we can move on. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you,
my co-host, and I really, really appreciate this conversation.
First, thank you again for this time. We truly appreciate it. Nice conversations here. I think some things that have been said. I took notes also for some things we'll take away. Everybody can say, do it better. We should also, from time to time, do a self-reflection and say, what can I do better, right? That's what I'll take away. I think it's important.
Absolutely.
And a couple of things you said here, I think the systems have to be in place.
Yes.
It's not going to change overnight. Mm-hmm. And then we'll take it one step at a time. But let's not lose hope. Let's not lose faith. I know you said things like the diaspora bill, all this while has not been voted. 20 years later, it's not been done. Thank God this month, right? Martin Luther King's birthday, right? Yes. These things did not happen overnight. A lot of things that are happening now,
yes,
if half of those things happened when Martin Luther King was alive, mm-hmm. he would have achieved his dream. Mm-hmm. You know, but what can we
absolutely, you're right,
is to make sure we don't lose hope. We don't stop. We have to keep moving. We have to keep pushing. The goal is that hopefully we can see during our lifetime. But our more bigger hope is that the ones after us will say thank you to those people that pushed it before our life. Feel free to shoot us any emails. We'll take it away. We'll keep running with it. Until next time, thank you. And I appreciate the host and the hostess.
Thank you. Thank you once again.
Thank you very much.
Our VVIP, I'll leave you all with our African proverb of the week, which says, what you give, you get 10 times over. So it goes back to what you said is, how can we be the change makers? I'm happy that, you know, you said that you have reflected, you're going to take things back to the BOT and to the BOD. And how can, you know, we be a force to make the change that we want to see here in our local diaspora community, but also back at home? Because change starts with us. And I think that we have wonderful leadership from you, our honorable chairman. It starts from the top. And I thank you for your vision. I thank you for your mission. And I thank you for your support. And we are here to support you, to continue to support you, at least from our local chapter, Naito South Savannah. We will continue to do our part. But if every local chapter, as he said, that's the call to action, everybody, is that let every local Nigerian and diaspora organization do their part. And if you're not part of Naito, come and join us. Come and become a member, you know, and do your part to make a difference. So thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
And I love you, Ankara, by the way. I was trying to beat you to it, but I think you still beat me.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
God bless you. God bless Nigeria. And God bless all of us here in the diaspora. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. God bless America too as well.
Yes, sir. Amen. Thank you. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. I want
that popping bottles of that Henny. It's no pretending. All the sweet boys wanna lock us down. The pillars too so hot. Money large, can't count the way I'm moving my body like I ain't seen nobody. A kind shout. Let us dance till the sun comes out. Oh yeah, this African dance is all about the ways. We gon' rock tonight like we ain't got no worries. Baby, pull it down, do me judge it. Slow it down, cause it's like my judge.
Africa, 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 Afric